Good afternoon, everyone. I'm so excited. Welcome to another episode of Becoming a Financially Confident Woman podcast. This is Dr. April Murdaugh, owner, CEO of Woman to Woman Financial. And I am so excited today. You know, I was trying to connect with this woman way before now. But it is even better now. This is Women's History Month. And for Women's History Month, I want to make sure that I interview women that I respect, that are movers and shakers in our city here, or just all over the country, because I work with women all over the country. But this lady in particular got me. My daughter and I went and visited her and her husband's restaurant. She doesn't know this. And my daughter had the crab pot potato. My daughter currently lives in Colorado now, and she literally asked me to mail her a crab pot potato. So I want to welcome to the podcast Lakeeta Spann, Mrs. Lakeeta Spann. She and her husband are the owners of Mr. Potato Spread. So welcome to the podcast today. I'm so excited to have you.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm as excited to be here as well.
So, like I said, my daughter and I, you know, visited your place. We had your crab pot potatoes. It for those of you out there in podcast world, I'm in Jacksonville, Florida, and I'm from New York. And I remember being introduced to crab legs at this place is called Wrenchers, but they were snow crab legs. And so that's my introduction in shrimp. When I moved south, the further I got, the more it became a thing. And when we got down here, Jacksonville seems to be the home of the blue crab and the crab trays and shrimp trays. And so my daughter and I are fans of those. And this young lady opened a restaurant surrounding potatoes. For some reason, she has taken the potato, yes, y'all, a simple potato, and made it a freaking amazing meal for all different palates. So what I'd like you to tell us today is kind of how did you get started? Like potatoes? For real? Like,
yeah.
Talk about how you evolved into this very successful business.
Yeah, thank you so much. So potatoes, I think, I'll be honest, when I came up with the idea myself, I kind of was like, okay, Lord, if this really what career that starts back in consulting, technology consulting and sales. And so I had, you know, for years I had the opportunity. My job was to, it started out over the phone, and that was really consult and help small, medium-sized business owners really determine what they needed from a technology and telecommunications perspective. So, and I found that very interesting. I really loved what I did. I had no desire to transfer out. A lot of my counterparts transferred out into other parts of the company. And I just loved speaking to small and medium-sized businesses and learning about how they operated so much. And so I continued to kind of grow within the company, and I got several promotions and ended up managing a sales team. And at that point, our role began to be, we were going out and we were sitting inside of these businesses with these smaller, medium-sized customers. Not just Jacksonville. I had a good part of Florida would have been our territory. I loved everything about it because, you know, we were able to really sit down and really and truly have very intimate conversations about how these people operated their businesses. Our job was to figure out everything we could, ask every question we could, understand everything about how they operated, and then find a solution to, we were going to find gaps. We always found gaps. And the goal was to find a solution that would meet that gap or fulfill that gap and then help them to become a lot more operationally efficient. And I learned everything about doing that. But one of the things I realized when talking to these small and medium-sized businesses was that most of them were good at one thing, right? And it was, if they sold widgets, it was widgets. If they were plumbers, they were good at plumbing. Electricians, good at electrician. And that was kind of it. When it came to the systems and processes and operational side of the business, they really struggled the most. And so I had great success in doing what I did because we were able to introduce these people to technology and tools and resources that really kind of were weak or strong where they were weak. And so at some point, you know, I started thinking about, man, I probably could do this, you know, because I understood the operational business, marketing, sales piece of being a business owner, but I just didn't know exactly, you know, what I would do as a business owner. And that's when my husband comes into play because he loves to cook. He loves all things food. And so he had worked in fine dining for a long, long time. And but I needed to sell him on it. And so after a couple of sales pitches with different ideas about food items that I felt like he could prepare, I came up with the idea of a potato. After thinking, I remember that there was a lady here locally in Jacksonville called the Potato Lady that did potatoes, but she just did fish and veggies. But nevertheless, it opened my eye to see how much you could do with a potato. And she eventually closed her business and had been closed for years. And, you know, after a lot of prayer and thought and what I felt like was strategy, the one thing that got my customer, it kind of ties back into what you just said, was I reminded him, I said, I work with ladies that eat crabs every day, blue crab. So much so they would bring them to work. And that baffled me. That really baffled me. And I'm like, because I believe it or not, born and raised in Jacksonville, and blue crabs just were not my thing. It was a whole lot of work, right? For a little bit of
meat. Yeah.
Give me the fixing, though. The shrimp, the corn. I'll take all of the fixings. I'm really happy with the fixing. But in Jacksonville, we do our crab pots or low country boils. We call them crab pots.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the one thing that caught my husband's attention when I said, what if we were able to take a crab pot and put it in a potato? And so he saw that as a challenge because I'm like, I don't know if it can be done, but like, what if? And he came home from work one day and made it happen. And it's history, right? Ever since. We tested the market. We tried it with friends and family. And, you know, everybody was kind of losing their minds. And then we're like, you know what? They're just being nice. We love us. We didn't want to be the people that go on American Idol that really can't sing. And, you know, the reason they ended up there was because all of their friends and family didn't want to hurt their feelings, so they told them they could sing. And so then it's like, let me take it to work and let me tell some of the other people that work in the office with me and see if they want to order some. And that's when we realized that it was really something that we needed to fix.
So that is so smart. So you guys, because sometimes people just do things like, oh, I think I can cook good. I can do this. I'm going to open this restaurant, right? I've seen it happen. And it's like, ma'am, no. So you guys were so savvy. You tested the market. And man, so your husband came, the potato is freaking amazing. But you don't just have the crab pot. Potato, you have taken it to a whole nother level. So when you were talking at the luncheon the other day, I didn't realize you had other, like, what are the other, sweet potato? I love sweet potatoes. So
yeah. So we've evolved in that now you don't have to get a baked potato. And so we have multiple potato bases. And so we have the white potato, but we also have the sweet potato. We have fries, sweet potato fries. We have tots, sweet potato tots. We have mashed potatoes. We even have sweet mashed potatoes. And then we have, which is another popular item of ours, we have the crab pot potato salad. Every now and then, we'll do some really cool different stuff with potato salads as well. So yeah, we do quite a few different things with potato, different types of potatoes.
So tell us now, so you guys came up with the idea, you tested the market, you did all the stuff that they say for business. So how did you, because you are in two locations now, how did you get started? How did you get out into the marketplace? How did that happen?
And so it's a really cool story. I was working again for this, you know, Fortune 50 company, and I shared it with a couple of coworkers that we were kind of thinking about. Initially, the idea was we should do it and we should get a food truck. That was the initial idea. And then I kind of backed up from that idea and said, well, that's going to be quite a bit of money to invest. Before we do that, that's where let's test the market and let's figure out if it makes sense. But we also, we drove down to Orlando. We were going on vacation. And a really dear peer of mine kept saying, well, I have a customer that owns this equipment. She has a large equipment warehouse. They build out food trucks. You need to go and meet with her. And I said, well, we're not there yet, you know. And the next thing I know, I'm driving to Orlando and I get an email from him and he's introducing me to this lady that owns this equipment company. And he's saying she will be in Orlando for the next few days and I'm suggesting that you all meet up. And initially it's like, oh, this man. But then it's like she responded and she said, oh, I would love to meet her. These are the times I'll be there. And so we took up, we were thinking we're going to drive and meet this lady for a few minutes and just talk to her. We ended up probably spending about 4 hours with this lady. She poured into us for 4 hours. And so when I told her the idea, she was so excited. And she's, you know, what about this kind of potato? And you can help them do, you know, she was so excited. She's thinking, she's already trying to build out the menu for us. But most importantly, she said, when she started talking about how much money it was going to cost to do a food truck, my husband immediately, like, he was no longer interested in having the conversation. And she recognized that. And she said, here's the thing. We're not going to talk about selling you anything at all today. She said, what I want you all to do is I want you to go back to Jacksonville and I want you to, I don't care if it's an arts market, I don't care if it's in a tent outside of a church, I don't care what it is, but you're going to go and figure out a way to sell this product and you're going to create a cult following. And then you're going to come back and buy everything that you need for your food truck or let us build out your food truck for me. And so sure enough, driving back from Jacksonville, driving back from Orlando, I'm like, okay, this is real. Let's get the domain name. Let's do the LLC. And what we decided to do at that point was, at the time, there was one Clutter Fairy kitchen here located in Jacksonville, which is like a shared kitchen that caterers and food trucks work out of. And in order to get a license for a food truck at that time, you had to work out of a commissary, or you needed to, in order to be a caterer, you could. And so we kind of decided we were going to be corporate caterers, meaning we would do delivery only, like on my husband's days off, to businesses only. And we were going to do that out of this commissary kitchen, also woman-owned commissary kitchen. And we did that. And the goal was to create this cult-like following. And so we offered delivery only, like 2 days a week. You had to order a day in advance. The minimum was like $50 at the time. And so you had to, there had to be like a few people ordering. And that's how we started. And we did that for probably about just 2 days a week. We did it for 6 months. And it got to the point where the demand was so high for it that my husband ended up leaving his job to do it 5 days a week.
Wow.
And working out of that commissary kitchen. And so initially he would make the potatoes and then bag them up. Like we would have to cut orders off for the day and bag them up. And then he would go and deliver them. And I would go on my lunch break and also deliver potatoes, like dressed up in my suit and like when I was in town. And that's how we started. And that is honestly how we tested the market. And so we were able to touch the masses by offering delivery only. And we did that for 2 full years. I mean, by the time he had gone full time, I didn't leave my job until 2 years after we started the business with delivery. And so we did that for 2 full years. We eventually brought on some delivery drivers. My husband made the potatoes. We had like 3 delivery drivers that would go out and deliver the potatoes, you know, 5 days a week.
Wow. Talk about vision and putting it to practice.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
You guys make such a great team. Like, just
thank you.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
So tell us. So now, how did you get to the storefronts? Because you have now two locations.
We do. We have the 2 locations. We started in 2014. By the end of 2016, we had our food truck. And we did exactly what Clarice Connie is the lady's name in Orlando that owned the equipment facility. And we found a truck here locally, but we purchased all of our equipment from Connie, had it shipped here to Jacksonville, had it built out here in Jacksonville. And so by the end of 2016, we had a food truck. And so we're still doing delivery. At least I'm full time in the business. I'm managing the delivery separate things, and my husband's taking the food truck out on a daily basis. We were very corporate driven at that point, because at that point we're still only delivering to businesses, and we're only taking the truck to businesses at that point. So it was really a lunchtime operation type business. Delivery during lunchtime, and the truck was going out during lunchtime. our customers were very vocal about, you know, what if I want to get a potato, you know, in the evening? Or what if I want a potato on the weekend? I want my family to experience this. And so we had some customers that, you know, would have us deliver like our latest delivery window between 2 and 3, just maybe 5 potatoes to my job, you know, between 2 and 3. And I'll take them home for my family. But we just got so much feedback, and it wasn't just a few people. I wanted to be sure that I didn't convince myself that, you know, people say, well, everybody wants No. How many is everybody?
Exactly.
We did not open our first brick and mortar until 5 years after we had been in business. And so we continued to do delivery for 5 years and take the food truck out for 3 years before we actually opened our brick and mortar. And even then, we were able to take everything we learned from delivery and the food truck and everything we learned about logistics. Like, we, you know, I knew I'm a data person, like I'm really data driven. And so I was very clear about the areas that we delivered most to. I was very clear about, because we did so much delivery, you know, where we opened the location, it had to be somewhere that had easy access, like to the interstate and to most parts of town. Because keep in mind, as a delivery only company, we serviced in Jacksonville. There was no hard friction. We did all of Jacksonville. We did St. Augustine, and we had even done some deliveries up to right across the Georgia border.
Wow.
You know, Callahan, Yulee, and so we did it all. Now, granted, you know, the farther out it was, the larger the order needed to be, but we made it happen. So there was no, this was before there was an Uber, you know, or DoorDash in Jacksonville. I think there was one little small delivery company, right? And so we were doing all of our deliveries ourselves. So yeah, we waited, we took our time, and then we made sure that that location made sense logistically. I didn't want to take on a whole lot of risk. And so I wasn't interested in, you know, somewhere with a low rent and somewhere that I knew that our core followers would be comfortable coming to purchase from us. And so familiarity, like, was also important, which is why we ended up, our first location was the Regency Square Mall, which wasn't, you know, for a lot of customers, it wasn't a thriving mall. There was no question about that. Hesitate to even call it a mall. I used to call it a food hall, right? Because at the time we went in, some other businesses followed us, and the food court was 100% full. And so it was really about the food. Like, that was my thing with everybody that created a mall. Let's just focus on the food. This is a food hall, not a mall. Let's just give customers an amazing experience when they come into this location. And so that's what we did. But it was the Regency Square Mall for customers. Like, was a familiar place, because at one time it wasn't really, really thriving. And so we ended up choosing that location, and that was why we were there for up until last year, as a matter of fact.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you are the brain behind the operations side, the operations, the sales. Your husband is the culinary genius behind the potato.
Yes, he's the reason it looks the way it looks, it tastes the way it tastes. I tell him all the time, I call him a culinary genius all the time, because the way that crab looks, you know, when we build that potato, like his whole idea behind why the egg has to go on the outside and the, you know, and the corn in the middle. It's genius, and it's a beautiful, all of them are beautiful, beautiful potatoes. So yeah, so I'm the strategy, the business, the marketing, the IT, the, you know, whatever else, you know, needs to happen, that's me. And then he handles the food and makes sure it looks good and tastes right and it's fresh and all of those things.
Man, there are so many lessons in your story, you know, especially for business owners. I think a lot of times emerging business owners want to jump out there and do it all right now. I want to get a building. I want to get a food truck. I want to do this. Instead of doing the things that you guys did, you guys listening to this, I mean, you have to test your market. You have to make sure that this is a need. You got to make sure that the people are going to be there when you place it there. And you said you hustled. I mean, you guys and went everywhere first to make sure. So, you know, profitability is always an issue for businesses, right? And so how long do you think it took you guys to be a profitable business? Like, for those out there that think that, you know, I'm going to 2-3 years, I'm going to be a millionaire because I have a great business.
In all honesty, about a year in. And that was only because we, you know, we didn't have the high overhead because of, you know, our decision to start out in a commissary and not start out, you know, in a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were in a shared space that was not, there was no heating and AC in this commissary with cooking equipment. Yeah. It was in a whole warehouse. We literally maybe had like two tables that we shared. That was our entire business operation. We shared the ovens, we shared the fryer, everything with other businesses. So we were in one space with probably four other businesses running all of our businesses at the same time, sharing equipment and space and things of that nature. But because we were willing to make that type of a sacrifice, it allowed us to really focus on the things that were important. And because in my area of specialty, my husband had his area of specialty, I was able to pay really close attention to the pricing, you know, the food costs, the labor. And so we had strategies in place for like our drivers, for example, that honestly, they were contractors at that point. And so the strategy at that point was, you know, most of our delivery fees and tips covered their pay, and they made great money back then, great money. And so because of that, we were able to be profitable a lot sooner than some businesses, you know.
Yeah, that's a good tip. That's a good idea, is to, you know, start small, manage your costs, really pay attention to how you do things. And so how is it a husband and wife team? Because, you know, sometimes they say that doesn't work. It's obvious that you're working for you. What do you attribute to you guys' success there?
I think being clear about exactly what my responsibilities are and what his responsibilities are. It obviously they intersect from time to time. You know, people seem to think I come up with great ideas, you know, all the time. Like, oh, maybe we should do this type of potato. And that doesn't always go over. That doesn't always go over well with him. A lot of times, you know, and because he's a creative. And I'm thinking about things from a business perspective or from a profit perspective, right? And so I'm looking at trends and I'm seeing what's happening in the world. He's not even really big on social media. And so there are times where, you know, he doesn't want my ideas about, you know, how he needs to cook something or what he should add to the menu. We've been together long enough. We've been together almost 30 years. And so we know each other really, really well. But again, you know, we're very clear. He knows exactly what my strengths are. And I know exactly what his strengths are. And then we trust each other in that. I trust that he's going to absolutely do the right thing for the business and vice versa. And so because of that, it works. I do believe that if we were trying to do the same thing, this would never have worked. If he didn't trust me enough to say this, or even book, like when the truck went out, I booked the locations for the truck and created, you know, caterings, things of that nature. And so he just trusts that if I say tomorrow you're taking the truck to XYZ from 11 to 2, he trusts that I have done my due diligence to make sure that it's going to be a profitable location and that it makes sense.
Awesome. Yeah, that's another key, man. There's so many gems in this thing. So tell us now, you said you had the lady, Connie. You know, in business, when people start out, you want somebody like to mentor you, or, you know, who was your mentor? Who helped you guys to get through to this point anyway?
Yeah, so there were a few people that helped us along the way. I mentioned Connie, Christy Jones, who's a local woman business owner here. She owned a luxury bath and body company called Jones and Rose. Sorry, I was just there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But I was her customer. You know, Jones and Rose.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So believe it or not, we had a location over off of University Boulevard, and I was a customer. And my husband would go over there from time to time to get me things because I just loved her, everything about her products. And just in conversation with what I had mentioned to her, what we were doing with the potatoes and we were doing delivery only. And she said, you know, I mentioned to her that eventually we're going to get a food truck. We're just trying to make enough money and save. And And one day she called and she said, there's a plumber around the corner that has a food truck or a box truck.
It's what you're looking for, but I know he's trying to sell it. And I got a number for you. Call him.
I mean, this is all divine. We called this guy and he just wanted to get rid of it. He had bought it. It was too big for the location. I think he was doing some contracting at the time. Of the town center told him the truck was too big. Couldn't park it out there. And he needed to get rid of it. He had had it serviced, brand new tires on it, rebuilt the engine. I mean, it was a match made in heaven. We purchased the truck from him. And it's the beginning. But when I think about a mentor type, Chef Chris Brown, he owns the Beaver Street Commissary. And at that time, that was the only commissary here locally in Jacksonville. And this woman, she's had a lot of experience in the catering industry. At the time, she owned or was president of a food truck association. And she took us under her wing and made sure that we understood everything there was to know about a food truck and how to operate and what made sense. She made sure that she also positioned us and just leveraged us to win. She made sure that we had, you know, contacts of companies that we could take the truck to. And so it was really in an unofficial capacity. I didn't realize that she was a mentor at the time, and she's still a really good friend to this day. But she absolutely was. She absolutely helped us with anything that was, you know, if we ran out of something, 9 times out of 10, she had it. And so she was really there for us in more ways than I can count. And so she was just an amazing, amazing, it's tons of experience, you know, in business in general, but also in our field. And so she was very much a mentor to us both, to myself and to my husband.
Wow. So now that is, it's amazing, amazing story. So tell us, though, some lessons learned. Like, what would you not do again? If you're talking to another business owner looking at doing something, not necessarily food, like what would you caution against? What are some of the struggles that you guys had and how you overcame some of those things?
Yeah. So a couple of things come to mind. There was a time before we got a brick and mortar restaurant that this private kitchen had become available, and it was at the commissary. It was in a different building and it was large. And I'm not sure if you've ever heard of Fresh Jack. They're a popular company here. Okay,
thank you.
Mm-hmm. Fresh Jack started at the same commissary. And so they were beginning to grow. They had started, they had their own building, their own area, probably was 5,000 square foot. And they were growing. And so they moved out. It became available. And I'm thinking, oh yeah, let's get our own space. And to be honest, when I found out how much it was going to cost, everything in me said, can you afford that? And like all the bells went off, like, I don't know if that's going to be a good idea. I don't know if that's going to be a good idea. And we did it. Anyway, I told my husband, let's do it. We'll have more space. You know, I'll have an office. We'll have AC. And he, you know,
he's like, yes.
Just for the heat and AC. And we got that building and it was fine. We were able to cover the rent every month. But it was really too much space for us at the time. It wasn't a location that we could. And the problem with that is what I did was I increased our overhead without real the revenue that was coming in, right? We were making the same amount of money. Nothing changed as far as that was concerned. And this location wasn't one of those locations where customers could really come. It wasn't that type of a setup. And so it's not like I all of a sudden could, you know, have customers come and purchase. That wasn't the case. But we definitely increased the overhead. It was painful. We were able to make it work. But one of them is story loan. I took out a predatory loan that ended up just like killing us just to try to keep up. And, you know, we were able to, because we had to buy our own equipment in order also. There was no equipment over there. So we're using shared equipment. And so now they've got to get equipment to put into the space to actually use. There was some equipment, but not everything that we needed. And so I took out a predatory loan. And I mean, it was the most painful thing that I had ever experienced to try to keep up with, you know, the amount of money that we were having to pay. Because I want to say it was like weekly. You know, it was one of those things. And I'm like, oh my God, it's so painful. Long story short, we were able to get through that. But that particular building at some multi-wiring older, it was an older building, and burned down. We lost everything. We lost everything. And we, and so interestingly enough, the day of the fire, and I believe this was like, I'll never forget, it was the day before the new year, like the 30th or 31st. And we had delivery orders that were like scheduled to probably with the 30th, and I believe we had some delivery orders scheduled for the 31st. And so now everything's burnt to the ground. The news is outside. And I'm like, are we gonna, you know, some friends came up, some employees came up. And so I'm like, we gotta call the customers. Just tell them we can't do delivery orders. But the truck was also scheduled to go out as well. And we still took the truck out that day. I'm like, we gotta figure out how to keep on moving. You know, we took the truck out that day. Chris, we were able to move back into the shared kitchen. She actually had a smaller kitchen that was kind of next to the shared kitchen that we were able to kind of move into. It was her kitchen that she used for catering. And she's like, you all can just stay in my kitchen. She gave up her kitchen, allowed us to use it. And that was kind of where we remained until we were ready to actually move into the brick and mortar location.
Wow.
But yeah, those were definitely some things that come to mind, some mistakes that we made along the way that, you know, just sort of that.
Yeah, well, some of it is not you guys. I mean, the building burning down, sometimes that's just circumstantial, right? And so, and it piles on top of things, decisions that you wish you hadn't made. So it makes it bigger, exacerbate, you know? And, you know, it's funny you say that in your transparency. I have been a victim of those predatory lending. I remember being married, and I think my ex-husband and I, we had one for like 18 months, you know? It was like, when you would go and you read, oh my God, you know, you talk 400-500% interest. Yeah. But, you know, there's a story, a book, The Psychology of Money, that kind of talks about the mindset of people when they're making financial decisions. And right now, at that time, that was the only way, you know. That was the only option I had at the table. Somebody else could have said there was tens of millions of options, but that was the only one at my hand. And so, but you guys are overcomers and you overcame that. And that's just, I always say there's no testimony without a test. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Very
obviously. And you guys have risen to the top. I am so proud to know you and see your business in this community and know that you are a Black woman doing this here, which is such a rarity in successful businesses, especially in your industry. Any other lessons, like if you had to give some tips to people wanting to do what you do, what would you advise them to do?
I think what's important to remember, I talk to so many business owners or, you know, aspiring entrepreneurs. And you know, the main thing that I have to remind people is it's so interesting. It's so easy to look at where we're at now with multiple locations and a food truck and assume that it has been easy, right? And I talk to, normally by the time people get to me in a lot of situations, they've already purchased, you know, the food truck. And, you know, and it's like, okay, so, you know, I need help because I got the truck and I'm not making money. And, you know, and I think that, you know, a couple of like strategy, like you've got to have a strategy. The idea of investing, I don't care how much money it is, any amount of money into a business venture and not having any strategy tied to it is not the best idea. And so an example that I have people to come to me and say, oh, I mean, I'm going to start a food truck. And I go, oh, great. What are you going to sell? Oh, I'm just going to do a little bit of everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's not it. That's not going to work. Or where are you going to go? Is your truck going to move around? Is it going to be one location? Oh, I don't know. I haven't figured that out. But you already have a truck. And so, you know, hard work. I just believe hard work always pays off. You have to be willing to put the work in. You're going to have to be willing to sacrifice some things, right, in order to make it work. And I think that hard work should never be discounted, because there is very much this idea of, I think nowadays, especially being an entrepreneur is easy, right? Everybody thinks that they can just turn on their camera and go live on Instagram and become an overnight success and being an influencer or boutique or whatever it is. And I think that you have to make sure that you really consider what the strategy, there's not enough strategy involved, I don't believe, in your business. Not saying that an Instagram or Facebook can't be a part of that. That's a strategy. That's not the business in totality. We very much live in a world now where word of mouth and Facebook alone is not enough, right? And so you've got to be willing to do more in order to figure out who your customer is. Know your customer. That's another tip. You got to know your customer. Interesting story is when we first got the truck, we had already, you know, we had already touched the masses by doing delivery, right? Because we were delivering to businesses. And so that was my whole idea. You deliver to businesses. Then if the business is large enough, other people are seeing that this team ordered Mr. Potato Spray. And so now the model gets who ordered Mr. Potato Spray. It's a cool idea. So we would actually turn a lot of our customers into salespeople. They called us and they had 10 potatoes. Then is there any chance you can get a 15? If you get a 15, then your potato's free. So now I have these little mini salespeople within these offices that are trying to get their free potato, which was beautiful and it worked out perfectly for us. So by the time we got our food truck, so many people knew who we were. What was interesting was the other people who owned food trucks in the city didn't know who we were, right? Because they're out working. They're not working in these offices. They're on their food trucks working. Mm-hmm. And so we debut our food truck at first event is a food truck championship contest. And we go to the championship contest and we win. But the reason we won was because we had the longest line. We had already announced to our customers on social media, we're going to be in this contest, come out with support. And the lines were nonstop for us. And all of these other trucks are looking like, hey, and where did they come from? So they're coming up to the truck. Are y'all from out of town? Is this a franchise? They were thoroughly confused. But here was the thing. As we started to take our truck out to these different businesses in different locations, I knew who the businesses were because we had already been delivering to them. So I already had a contact inside of the location. Or, you know, so as we're booking to go to these businesses, a lot of times there might be another truck or two there. And so, of course, everybody's coming out and they're going to miss the potato spray because they know us. And, you know, and so these trucks started getting upset. Who are these people? Where do they come from? We used to do good at this location. Now they're all going to the potato chip. But here was the difference. And then also other trucks that had never been to those locations would want to go because they heard about the lines that we had. They heard about how well we did. The problem with that was we were very clear about who our customers were, and they weren't. And so when they would try to bring their truck to that same location, they wouldn't do well, even on days we weren't there. And it was because that was their target customer. Call centers, those were our target customers. Women specifically, at that time, Black women specifically. And so it was very clear that a lot of Black women work at hospitals, a lot of Black women work in call centers. And so I knew that those were our customers. And that was a mistake that I see a lot of business owners make, is not assuming that everybody is your customer when everybody is not your customer.
So how did you guys come to that clarity? How did you come to that clarity of these are the people I want to serve? How did you come to that? I was just talking with my mentor on the way here. And, you know, I've done that myself. Now, when I first started in my industry, it was, I want to help everyone understand finances, blah, 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 blah. And so, of course, now, you know, we were just talking and I'm growing and I'm like, yeah, I know at first some years ago, it's like, I know who I don't want to work with, you know.
Yeah.
So I didn't have, it took a while for me to get that level of clarity. But it seems like you guys stepped on the scene with knowing who your customer was. How did you do that?
When we tested the market, we used social media initially to put it out there. Also, we reached out to obviously people in my network, people I knew that worked within businesses, and said, hey, this is what we're doing. Here are some pictures of the product. Let me know if you all want to order. And again, I'm a data person. And so we were one of those businesses that from the day we started, I need the data to support. We're not one of those businesses where we're not going to input cash sales into the POS system, right? I know a lot of businesses like that, but we don't have to pay taxes. So we don't put the cash sales in. No. Every sale that we made had to go into a POS And then there was just additional information that I would collect when I could from the customers, you know, be it a zip code, a birth date, or, you know what I'm saying? Like if I saw them, then I'm documenting on their profile, like, okay, this is an African-American woman. Back then, social media also still gave you those types of insights, you know, women, the age kind of information, the demographic information. And so anywhere I could get data from, I was able to get that data from so that we can make a determination about who that customer was, who that loyal customer was. Because I understood there were going to be some people in those offices that were just going to try it just because their team was ordering it. But the people who really, really, really championed Mr. Potato Spread at that point in time were Black women. And I was very clear about that. Black women ages about 25 to about 44. Very clear about that because I had the data to support it based on we started testing the market. And so those are the people who we focused on. Those are the people who we created products, you know, for. We asked for feedback on. We would even come up with new ideas for potatoes and just the customers that really championed us. Listen, I know you ordered the crab pot this week. We have this new potato that I'm going to send it to you along with your order. Give me some feedback.
Wow.
And so those were the people that really, really helped us figure out what we need to be doing.
That is the reason why you guys are so successful. That is, and you know, in a good amount of time, you know, like you're talking about after 1 year being able to have a profitable business. A lot of people say after 5 years it takes, right?
Minimum.
Yeah. If you're still in business, being a minority woman as well, a minority family, right? And having the gumption to know how to strategize to build a business, that's amazing. That's amazing. So, so proud of you. And for those of you listening, another thing, Lakita and her husband, they became the overall Jacksonville Small Business Leaders of the Year for 2024. And what that means, that's huge. I think they are the second African-American folks to win that. Okay.
Yes.
And
yes.
The other thing is she had to kind of compete and they had to look at her business with, I think it was 12 other businesses in the city, other business owners in the city. And they had to be voted on to be the overall Small Business Leader of the Year. So she and her husband have achieved that. They are representing Jacksonville or their business in Jacksonville, leaders in Jacksonville. And so wanted to have her on before then. And it just so happened that she got that 2 weeks ago. So I am just really excited for you. I'm excited to see where this continues to go. What are you guys' vision? What do you see yourself in the next 5 years, you think?
Oh, we see ourselves pretty much expansion. Expansion through franchising, hopefully. We've kind of taken a step back. We became, you know, legally authorized to become a franchisor in 2019. And, you know, we did sell one. We kind of scaled back and closed that one. We kind of re-strategized on how we approach franchising, to be perfectly honest. Mm-hmm. And so the goal within the next 5 years is to really expand through franchising, through Wappers. Other parts of Florida and some parts of Georgia.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, those of you listening, if you're ever in the Jacksonville area, you have to check out Mr. Potato Spread. They're in the Orange Park Mall. And where's your other location at now?
It's in the River City Marketplace near the airport.
Okay. Yes. All right. So coming right out of Georgia, right there, you can stop in River City Market. It's a bustling market over there and get you a Mr. Potato Spread. If you eat seafood, you got to try the crab.
You have. It's got to be the first one.
Yeah,
for sure. And if anyone's listening that's not local, we also have spices available for order on our website as well at mrpotatospread.com.
Okay, say that again because you cut out.
Yes, so I said anyone who's not local, or actually if you are local, we also have custom spices available on our website at mrpotatospread.com. So we have our crab pot. Spices or a garlic butter spice that you can take and mix with your own butter, a veggie spice, have an all-purpose spice as well, and also the spice that we use on our a pork rub on our pulled pork.
Yo, y'all hearing that? You know, for Christmas last year, I sent my clients, some of my clients, Fresh Jacks, because I love their spices. Mm-hmm. So I sent them a thing. Now, we got you. I thank you so much. We're almost at an hour. I appreciate your time. Listen, y'all, I'm going to make sure we have a link to her website in on the show notes. Visit their website, order the spices. We really want to support a Black-owned business. I'm all about that. I love women in business. Don't get me wrong. I love all people. Don't get me wrong. But power to the Black folks that are in business. Issa said, I'm fighting.
I'm fighting for Black people. Everybody Black.
Everybody Black. Want to see us win. And so, and especially a woman. So thank you so much for paving the way for women like myself and other women who are watching you and your family. You guys are doing an amazing job, and I'm excited to see your continued success. So thank you for
taking thank you so much
here.
Thank you for having me.
No.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Have a good one.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.